Good morning. How is everyone? Still with me? Okay, we'll crack on then. So continuing in Proverbs, our series that we've been running through the summer. This morning, the topic is authority. So we're going to start with a verse from Proverbs, Proverbs 24, verses 21 to 22. It'll be on the screen behind me. Follow along if you like. It says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not join with those who do otherwise, for disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both." Now, by some miracle, we've had some blazing sun in Scotland the past few weeks, haven't we? Blazing hot. I've seen a lot of Scottish tans, you know, the white, red, white. That happens, like a couple of rattlesnakes walking around the place, you know. I'm the same. I'm like a vampire. I have to stay in the shade. I'll go red quick. But we've also had some really heavy rain, haven't we? From like monsoon level rain. And I'm one of them weirdos who likes the rain as much as the sun, you know? I quite like heavy rain. And recently, over the past year or so, me and Rachel, we've been blessed with a garden. It's not a big garden, it's nothing fancy, nothing to write home about, but it's still a garden, right? And so you can tell I'm getting old as I'm speaking this. I can tell how old I'm getting here, right? And I've been watching the effect the sun and rain have on my garden. Do you know what I mean? Never taken time really to look at it. It needs sun to live, but too much sun makes the grass and flowers wither and die. It needs rain to grow and to stay green, but too much rain waterlogs the roots and starves the grass of oxygen. Isn't that right, Graham? And also for us, personally, sun gives us vitamin D, it's good for our skin, it's good for us, but too much burns our skin. I'm looking around, I can see a few of us know exactly what I mean with that one. And rain is one of the primary ways God sustains life on earth. It helps food to grow and it gives us fresh water, but too much rain can drown and kill us. In short, sun and rain have the power to give life. But they also have the power to destroy life. Authority is like sun and rain. Authority can give power to the lives of so many. Like the sun can cause flowers to flourish and rain that brings growth, when someone fears the Lord and rules justly and wisely, it helps everyone under their rule. Those who submit flourish. Those who submit grow. But in the same way, authority can take power from the lives of others. Like the sun that burns and the rain that drowns, when someone does not fear the Lord and does not rule justly and wisely, it will hurt everyone under their rule. Those who submit get burned and spiritually drown. I wonder what your experience of authority is this morning. Can you think of someone who's showed bad authority in your life? Can you think of someone who's shown good authority in your life? And I'll be very honest with you this morning. Authority is something I've struggled with all my life to this very day. Again, the irony is not lost on me that the topic I'm preaching on today is authority. I am grateful, very grateful for the good, gracious, wise authority Jesus has placed over me since I got saved. I'm grateful they've been quick to forgive me when I've let my pride-filled heart get the better of me. I think we all struggle with authority in one way or another, don't we? So then, with that in mind, this morning we will define what authority is. Let's get the stall laid up, right? We'll define what authority is. We will find out what bad authority looks like and what good authority looks like. And then finally, we'll see how submission to good authority helps us flourish and grow. What is authority? Bad authority, good authority, submitting to authority. All good? Let's crack on then. So what is authority? I went back and forth this a few times this week. I took ages with it, but very simply, or as simply as I can put it from a scheme ed, authority is the authorization to use the power we have for the good of others. Okay, I'll say it again. Authority is the authorization to use the power we have for the good of others. Authority is always given either by God or man. Well, technically it's always from God, but man doesn't always realize it. It should rarely, if ever, be taken by force, and authority is not the same as power, okay? Power is the ability to do something. Power is the ability to do something, but authority is the authorization to use that power to do something. Can you see the difference? I'll try and illustrate, okay? So, think about driving a car in the UK. Some of us in this room may have had the power to drive a car from the age of 13 or 14. But you're not authorized to do so until you're 17 and have a license. You don't have the authority to drive a car before that, even though you may have the power to. Does that make sense? And one for the Americans in the congregation, I knew you were coming in this morning. Think about firing a gun in the USA. I imagine most of you will have the power to fire a gun by the time you're 4 years old in America. But you're not authorized to buy and own a gun until you're 18, 21 in some states. You don't have the authority to shoot a gun on your own before that, even though you may have the power to shoot that gun. Are we following me? Good. You have to be authorized to either drive a car, shoot a gun, and that authority has to be given to you by someone who has the authority to give it. Again, authority is the authorization to use the power we have for the good of others. And biblically speaking, it should always be used for God's glory, but it rarely is it? Some people are granted a lot of authority, some people are not. There are consequences to rebelling against authority, which we'll come on to in a minute, but something we need to get in our heads right from the beginning is that God is the ultimate authority. God is the ultimate authority. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. All authority came from God. He created everything, and he built authority into creation. Knowing that this morning will help us understand it better. God is the ruler of all things, and he is the creator of all things. He is the ultimate authority, and he has made us in his image to rule with him, under him. As we said, authority is always given or granted to us, and it's been that way since the beginning. Again, let me read you something from Genesis. Genesis 1, 27 to 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them, and God blessed them. Ready? And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion, have authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Getting that? In the beginning, God had all the authority, yet he lovingly chose to share some of that authority with us as well. Isn't that amazing? Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him? You have given him dominion, authority over the works of your hands. So once again, authority is the authorization given to us to use the power we have for the good of others. All authority comes from God who created all things. By giving us authority, he gives us the opportunity to grow, train, and be like him. And in the beginning, all authority was used rightly and wisely. Remember what God said after he gave mankind authority, Genesis 1:31. God saw all he made, and behold, it was very, very good. But look around. Look at the world around you. Clearly something went wrong along the way, didn't it? We happened. Humanity happened. Eve listens to the lies of the serpent in the garden. Adam co-signs her sin, and the world fell into the sinful state it is today. This event is often called the fall, when humanity fell into sin. It's from this fall that bad authority entered the world. All good, that's what authority is. Moving on to bad authority now. Second heading, bad authority. Very simply, bad authority is the abuse or misuse of the authority someone has been given. I'll say it again. Bad authority is the abuse or misuse of the authority someone has been given. And listen, authority in and of itself is not bad. It's not sinful. It's the abuse or misuse of authority coming from a sinful heart that's sinful. Okay, authority on its own, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing bad, there's nothing sinful with authority. It's when we get involved that authority can get bad. It's when the sin in our hearts gets involved. And that sin fills all of us. And we see the abuse of authority every single day, don't we? We see it when dictators think their authority is limitless and they seek to dominate their citizens. We see it when husbands selfishly use wives and children to get what they want or lazily don't lead so there's no way for their family to flourish. We see it when mothers manipulate their children to control them. We see it when pastors spiritually abuse their members to make themselves feel more important or spout heresy leading thousands astray. We see it when bosses treat their employees terribly because they are too proud to see people grow and flourish under them. They can't stand someone being better than them at something, Mr. Importance, but they've never washed a dish in their life. And last but not least, the politicians. How can we go through this list without mentioning politicians? Think of how many stories we've heard just about the leaders of Scotland recently abusing authority they've been given. Scandalous. Bottom line is, we do not have to look far to find bad authority, do we? And something for us to know this morning, especially the pastors, leaders, and husbands amongst us, God takes the abuse of authority, the abuse of power, very, very seriously. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 4. This is God speaking through Jeremiah. He says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter my people. I will punish you for your evil deeds and put good shepherds over my people." Or what about Jesus ripping into the Pharisees for their abuse of authority? Matthew 23, this is Jesus speaking to the common people here. He says to them, "The Pharisees lord it over you because they claim to know Moses' works." How many of us have known people like that, get filled with head knowledge, know a bit of the Bible and think they can lord it over you? We can all relate to that, no? Jesus says about the Pharisees, they preach but do not practice. He says they tie heavy burdens on the people too hard to bear, burdens that they themselves are not willing to move. They do everything they can to be seen by others. Does this strike a chord with us today? Let me ask you something I've had to ask myself all week. Are we guilty of misusing the authority God has given us this morning? Are we guilty of misusing the authority God has given us this morning? Are you willing to find out if you have? Are you willing to repent if needed? Any leader calling himself a Christian in this church this morning should be. Here's something I challenge every leader, pastor, or husband to do today, and I've done it this week too, by the way. I ain't on some pedestal. Ask those you are responsible for, ask those God has entrusted to you, either in work or at home, how am I leading you? How am I leading you? How can I do better? How can I do better? If we have the humility to ask this question to those under our authority, listen to what they say and repent where needed, the Lord will honor it. You might find you both grow. But if we aren't sure if this is us this morning, maybe we're plodding along, maybe we're stuck in a stubborn state of mind, or maybe you know someone that might be misusing the authority God has given them, but you're not too sure, here's some telltale signs to watch out for. Here's some telltale signs to watch out for. Bad authority does not listen to the voice of others. It doesn't listen to anyone else. Bad authority strives to maintain control in a domineering way. Has to be in control. Can't bear to let the reins go. Bad authority wants to be over their people instead of with their people. Let me explain what I mean there, yeah? I'm over you and I'm number one. Instead of, God has placed me over you, but I'm with you. You're my people. There's a difference. And I think James chapter 3 very helpfully reminds us where this bad authority comes from inside our sinful hearts. We've clocked at the fall, all kicked off there. But where does it come from in our own sinful hearts? What still brings it out today? James 3, chapter 3, verses 14 to 15 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, listen, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. James 3 reminds us where godly or bad authority comes from. Ultimately, it comes from bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. It comes from bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts. And James does not mince his words here. He says it's unspiritual, it's demonic, it's satanic. And that's the bottom line for all bad authority. The bottom line for bad authority is that Satan doesn't want God in charge. He doesn't want God in charge. He wants to be in charge. And the way he can try and be in charge is making you think you're in charge. So leaders, parents, pastors, I ask you another question. Who are you working for this morning? Who are you working for this morning? Are you working for that ancient snake, Satan? Or are you working for the Ancient of Days, Almighty God? James 3 says, bad authority is selfish, satanic, and leads to disorder. It crushes people, leads to discontentment, and it needs to be repented of. But thankfully, James 3 also says what good authority should look like too. Praise God. It'd be quite a heavy few verses otherwise if you didn't. James 3, verses 17 to 18 says, but the wisdom from above, never mind the earthly, demonic, satanic one, the wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then open to reason, meaning it will listen to the voice of others, yeah? Full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's what good authority looks like. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Church, everyone here this morning, good authority is peaceable, godly, and sows a harvest of righteousness. What does that mean? It means it sows seeds that see other people grow to look more like Jesus. Church, the solution to bad authority is good authority. Third heading, good authority. Simply put again, good authority is authority used wisely. Good authority is authority used wisely. And authorities that act wisely and uphold justice are given to us from God, whether that's in the home with an individual, whether it's a boss in work, or whether it's the authorities God has installed in a more official way, the divinely instituted ones, the police, the governments, whatever. When they're doing their jobs properly, they uphold justice and are given to us from God. We have to know that this morning. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 2 says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Again, ties in nicely to the verse we opened up with, Proverbs 24, my son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise. Disaster will come on you. Now listen, I know a lot of us may turn our face up at police and authorities. I know that. I did for years. Even now I see a police car go past, I still give a little look. Do you know what I mean? I've been a Christian nearly 8 years. I need to pray about that. But when authorities are working as God intended, they are a blessing for the people and they're a sword to the wrongdoer. I'm a bit slow. It takes me a while to get things right. Do you know what I've realized in the past few months? It's only taken me the past few months. I didn't like authorities because I was a wrongdoer.
No.
Do you know what I mean? All these years I've been like, oh, I don't like them. I hate them. Always been on my case. They were on my case because I was doing wrong. They were doing their job. Light bulb moment. Do you know what I mean? Bing. Authorities that upload justice are divinely instituted by God and should be a terror to bad authority. And, you know, more than just, say, your average day criminal, what about the really naughty, horrible, horrific bad authority? Bad authority that leads to domestic violence. Bad authority that leads to people being trafficked, as Paul mentioned earlier. Bad authority that can lead to the genocide of millions. Again, the answer to this bad authority is good, godly, wise, biblical authority. And by God's grace, this is exactly what we see at the end of World War II. I was a bit inspired by Benny last Sunday when he was mentioning about the war. I'm a bit of a warhead myself. At the end of World War II, look, there was these set of trials held by the world authorities. The name of these trials were the Nuremberg trials. Have we heard of this morning? Yeah? If you haven't, I'll do my best to explain it, okay? So the Nuremberg trials were a series of international military tribunals, court cases held by the Allied powers. So the US, the UK, France, and even the Soviet Union, yeah? They were held between 1945 and 1949 in Nuremberg, Germany. That's where the name comes from. They prosecuted leaders of Nazi Germany for plotting World War II, committing the Holocaust, and abusing the authority they had. And if you want a good example of what bad authority looks like, I think Hitler's Third Reich is a pretty good example. Rotten. Anyway, these evil leaders are put on trial, and justice was done. In fact, and you can look this up, please, I encourage you to, many at the trial said it was God who passed sentence on Hitler's regime. That's what a lot of them said. Sounds true. And these trials didn't just bring an end to the shockingly bad authority of Hitler's Germany. But do you know what else it did? I find this fascinating. It also established the framework for criminal law that we have today. A framework that's used or should be used to bring justice to bad authority today. That's what was set up from these trials. That's what a divinely instituted good authority should look like. It should be a protector of the people. It should be a helper of the weak and should lead to its people flourishing and growing under its leadership. Can you see the difference between good authority and bad authority? As James says, good authority starts with a heart that is peaceable, open to reason, and full of mercy. And surprise, surprise, the telltale signs of good authority are the opposite of bad authority. I think David says it really good in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23, David says, where one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. It's like we said at the beginning, the power sun and rain have to bring life and cause things to flourish. That's what good authority can do. It causes people to flourish and grow. Good authority should be a blessing. Boundaries, discipline, and loving leadership should be a blessing. It should cause people to flourish and grow, bringing peace and contentment. Listen, good authority, or authority used wisely, does listen to the voice of others. It does listen. Good authority does not strive to maintain control in a domineering way. It gives people space to grow. Good authority wants to be with their people, working for their people, not just over them. Again, let's illustrate. Think of a good father and their child. A good father and their child. A good father is above his child, physically and spiritually. He is the person who sets the rules in the house. The father is. He is the leader. But he should only set the rules in the house because he is under God, who has shared his authority with him. When the child breaks the rules, he is called to discipline him or her, right? It should never be done in anger, but so that the child might know boundaries and grow. No discipline and boundaries leads to spoiled brats. That's the bottom line, isn't it? A good father, though, is not simply over their child. He should be close to them as well. They shouldn't be distant, but they should take care of the child. They are interested in what their child is interested in. They are there for them. They have fun together. They laugh. Basically, the boundaries train them. The love helps them feel safe and helps them grow. You need both. Also, think of a football player learning to play. They are coached, taught the basics, positioning, but then they're let loose on the pitch to have freedom. The training helps them grow and empowers them on the pitch. So good authority is about leading people in the right direction while also letting people figure out that direction on their own. It's not domineering. It's not crushing them every turn. Here's the thing to remember, especially when we look at good authority. Authority is not there to serve itself. Authority is not there to serve itself. It's there to grant freedom, power, wisdom, and growth in those it serves. It's meant to preserve, protect, and powerfully build God's kingdom on earth. That's what good authority is for. And it's this kind of good authority that we need to be ready and willing to submit to every single day. Problem is, we don't like authority, do we? Submission is hard for us, isn't it? Because we think it's a weak word when it's not. So final heading then, submitting to authority. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be on the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Jump down to verse 17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Listen, in today's culture, we have a right problem with authority, don't we? We have a right problem with it. Don't tell me what to do has become the phrase of the day, hasn't it? And if we don't say it verbally, it's what we think inside. Who's he telling me what to do? Who's she telling me what to do? Don't tell me what to do. Whether that's a child to a parent, pupil to a teacher, worker to a boss, church member to an elder, criminal to police, it's rampant. And on TV, clock this myself, I like films, do you know what I mean? I watch a lot of mad films. But we often cheer the hero who resists leadership or the powers that be. They disobey authorities and we love it. How often, especially those of us from schemes and council estates, do we end up cheering for the bad guy by the end of a film? I'm like, you know, he's all right, him. Go on. That's what we're like, isn't it? And do you know what I was thinking as well? We see this in the Bible too. Moses standing against Pharaoh, Elijah fighting against King Ahab, Jesus challenging the Pharisees, but there's a big difference between the Bible characters and our everyday films. The difference is this. The Bible characters, the heroes of the Bible are the ones who obey God. They don't disobey God. Solomon tells us in Proverbs, as we've looked at already and we'll look at here, that impulsive rebellion against authorities motivated by personal preference instead of wisdom never ends well. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 to 15 says, a worthless person goes about with crooked speech, with perverted hearts they devise evil, continually sowing discord. Calamity will come upon them, and they will be broken beyond repair. Basically, the rebellious person will end up spiritually smashed to pieces, and who knows, maybe even sometimes physically, depending on what authority they come up against. So let me remind all of us of something this morning. Just because something isn't going the way you want it to go doesn't mean it isn't going the right way. I'll say it again. Just because something isn't going the way you want it to go doesn't mean it isn't going the right way. Submission to authority is not agreeing with something, then seething inside. That's not submission. Submission is not going along with something, then gossiping, devising evil behind their backs. Submission is fully supporting something and being content about it. It's saying, you know what? I wouldn't have done it that way, but that's fine. I'm cool with that, and I'm genuinely cool with that. Everyone have different ways of doing things. As I said, it doesn't always mean your way is right. I've had to learn this the hard way several times. If someone is doing the best they can to lead you and is following the will of God found in the Bible, but it's maybe just a bit hopeless, maybe they're trying to learn the ropes, show them some grace. Show them some grace. Don't dig your heels in and go around slagging them off. Come alongside them, encourage them. Be gentle, not harsh. Pray for your leaders instead of persistently criticizing them. Have you thought of that? You might find, shock, horror, you both will grow. Huh. Fancy that. Proverbs 25, verse 15. With patience, a leader may be persuaded, and with a soft tongue will break a bone. A soft word. Support those trying to be godly leaders. Listen, I challenge every single one of us. Be a joy to lead and not a headache. Be a joy to lead and not a headache. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. Even the ones who are a bit hopeless, they're keeping watch over you. They're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Ephesians 5, wives submit to husbands. Ephesians 6, children submit to parents. Church members to pastors, wives to husbands, children to parents. We are commanded to obey those God has chosen to lead us. Again, if a leader in your life is doing all they can to grow as a godly leader and see you grow as well, you're commanded to submit to them, even if they do things a little bit differently to how you would have done it. Submission is an act of strength and willingness to God's authority in our lives. It means, and this is tough for a lot of us, it's tough for me, it means putting aside our own wants and needs. It means putting aside our own wants and needs to come under the authority of another. And that can be painful if we're coming from being under bad authority. We'll look at that shortly. But as we've seen, the Bible is clear, very clear, that submission is the path to growth and it's the pathway to be a good leader. Submission is a path to growth for those submitting, and it's also the pathway to being a good leader for those leading. The best leaders are the best submitters. The best leaders are the best submitters. And again, think of a good sports coach or teacher or boss or parent or pastor. The best ones are the ones that showed you tough love, and you can laugh about it with them months down the line. When they made you run extra laps or keep you behind to do homework or challenge you on something, you think, oh, he's a right guffy him. But when you look back, it was a time you grew the most spiritually. Submission can be scary. I understand that. But ultimately, submission is a pathway to growth. Now, I know many of us here have been under bad authority at some point. I know some of us have been under authority that has been misused and massively abused. So is it ever okay to not obey authority? Is it ever okay to not obey authority? Yes, it is. Jesus perfectly submitted to the will of his Almighty Father. But he did not submit to the will of the abusive religious leaders. If someone is trying to lead you in the opposite way to what the Bible says, you submit to that person by lovingly challenging them one-on-one. If the person won't have any of it, you follow the steps of Matthew 18. Bring one or two other people with you to speak to the person, and neutral people. Don't bring your old squad of mates, do you know what I mean, to gang up on a person. Neutral people. If they're still having none of it, bring it to the church. Listen up. If you were in a situation where you feel threatened or like your life is in danger, leave that situation immediately and seek good authority. Leave that situation immediately and seek good authority. If it's an abusive boss, don't feel like you've grasped them. If it's an abusive partner or parent, don't feel like you've abandoned them. I'd like to remind every single Christian in this room this morning that your ultimate authority is to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a believer's ultimate authority. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority under heaven and earth has been given to me." Every single bit of it. Submission to authority does not mean enabling sin, tolerating abuse, or surrendering godly boundaries. That's not what submission to authority is. Instead, it means speaking with dignity. It means speaking truthfully and respectfully. It means refusing hatred. It means refusing revenge. It means refusing abuse. And it means seeking to act in a Christ-like manner. And sometimes that Christ-like manner means breaking away from abusive relationships. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He is near to the brokenhearted. I pray you will know that today. But listen, on the flip side of that, as we come to a close, this is not to be used as a get-out-of-jail-free card, okay? Not getting your own way is not abuse. Being challenged on something for the good of your soul is not abuse, all right? Wherever possible, we must be ready and willing to submit to the authority God has put in place over us and work through the hard times, even if we don't always agree with that authority. God commands us to, and especially in marriage, what God joins together, let no man separate, okay? You must work through the hard times, but this is important. When a relationship develops a pattern of abusive behavior, seek wise godly counsel, notify good wise authorities, get to safety. I'll say that again. When a relationship develops a pattern of abusive behavior, seek wise godly counsel, notify good wise authorities. We know what they look like after this morning. Get to safety. Do not feel trapped there. And for the leaders in the room this morning, let me remind you again, the best leaders are the best submitters, okay? The best leaders know how to submit well to Jesus Christ and any other authorities they may have in their life. In our culture, we've made this mistake of submission being a weakness or something that only weak people do, when it is the complete opposite. Submission takes strength and courage. Submission is not a weak word for weak people. Jesus Christ modeled submission perfectly. Was he weak? Jesus perfectly submitted to his Father's authority. He willingly and courageously submitted to the point of death on a cross. Why? Why? So that people who hate authority, people who have come under bad authority, and people who have abused authority could be forgiven and live forever. Amen. Jesus died for me and you. He rose from the dead for me and you. He offers sinners like me and you the chance to come under his perfect, kind, peaceful, loving authority that leads us to eternal life. If you do not trust in Jesus this morning, and if you keep buying into the bad authority Satan runs this world with, then you will spend eternity with Satan in hell. But if you have trusted in Jesus, and if you are submitting to his good, perfect authority, then you will spend eternity with him in new creation instead, where there will be no bad authority, there will be no abuse of authority, there will be no misuse of authority, there will be no tears, there will be no pain. There will be joy unending forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus today if you need to. Please do it. The time of salvation is now. Be thinking this week. What am I doing with the authority Christ has given me? How am I submitting to the authority Christ has placed over me? Think when you put your head on your pillow at the end of the day, which master have you served today? Which master have you served today? God help us all. Amen.